Resolving everyday conflict. I love how those of you who are here regularly know right now, you just go to your sermon notes, you pull those out, and we go into the third sermon in this series of resolving everyday conflict. And I was thinking about, you know, how some things are just inevitable, unavoidable. You can't escape it. And, you know, I had all these negative examples. And then I was like, no, let's just celebrate today. Spring is inevitable, unavoidable. You know, I was with some guys earlier this week, and they were both like, oh, man, I don't know. I think I'm going to quit. I don't know. I don't want to do anything. You know, and I'm like, hang on. Sun is coming. It's going to get sunny again. It's going to get warmer again. Your mood is going to change. And sure enough, it's changing. And those things are unavoidable. They come. But we have been talking about conflict, and conflict is also unavoidable. It's going to come. But it doesn't have to bring us down. But it can. Conflict has the power to destroy relationships. I'm sure we've all seen it. All different types of relationships. The power is there to destroy them in conflict. Eric, if we could just go ahead. Now, the question is, who wants to destroy relationships? Who wants to? Do you want to destroy relationships, or do you have the answer? What's the answer? The devil. The devil, exactly. You know, like, we all like great relationships, but when conflict is destroyed, whether it's in relationships, marriages, families, jobs, ministries, churches, communities, wherever it is, the winner is the devil. So if you want to write the devil in your sermon notes, you can. That's the winner. When conflict goes bad, when conflict destroys relationships, it's not what we want, but that's what, you know, you've got a little cheering section in hell saying, yay, that's what we want. We want to see things torn apart, broken up. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to learn to use conflict for good. We can do that. You can do that. And we're gonna take some important steps in that today of learning how to use conflict for good. Because conflict happens. It is unavoidable. We can minimize it, but it happens. There are differences of opinions. There are differences of ideas. There are differences of desires. There are misunderstandings. There's evil in the world. But conflict can be used for good. And when we put in that work, when it's used for good, it's like this win-win-win situation. You come out better, the other people come out better, and God is glorified. It's like win, win, win. But to do this, we have to resist what the devil wants and go towards what God wants. You've got to take a stand. That's what we're going to talk a lot about this morning, is taking a stand. We're going to do this from Scripture. There's a book in the Bible that Paul wrote, and he's writing it to one church in particular, but really it's sort of an open letter to a lot of different churches, the church in Ephesus, and it's 6 chapters long, and right at the end we find this passage, and you can tell it's towards the end of the book because it starts with, finally, finally. Now as you listen to this, listen for how we are to stand. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord. So hopefully you heard that word stand in there. You know, stand against the devil's schemes. Stand your ground. Whenever evil comes, stand. And it repeats it right again. Stand firm. Stand. We need to stand. We need to stand in the right place. And we need to stand with a good footing. You know, back and listen to last week's message where we talked a little bit about how to have that good footing. Because if we don't stay in the right place, we will quickly go in bad places. Now, I was a little hesitant to show this video, but I think with the sunshine and the warmth, things melting away, you can handle it without too much trauma. So we're going to watch a little reminder. Do you remember this? You know, there are certain times when we just can't quite get traction. It hopefully seems like a long time ago. But when there is a hill covered with snow, once you start down it, there's really not much you can do. You just get going, and gravity takes over, and the best you can hope for is no cars coming along at the bottom and it's going to smack you. Hope. Oh, he made it. All right, but barely. But this idea of you know, once you start down certain slopes, they are slippery, and there is not a lot of easy ways to stop. And that's true in conflict as well. Picture yourself on top of an icy dome. You know, and it's actually a frozen bubble. I thought it was pretty cool. But you're on top of this icy dome. Now, if you stay right there, hey, you're golden. You go too much this way. You go too much that way. I had to do different sounds, each different side, you know? All right, but that's sort of our position. And we need to figure out how to stay up there where we're not sliding off to the dangerous edges. And we need to reflect a little bit about this personally. When you encounter conflict, what's your natural response? What do you do when you encounter conflict? We all have our go-to responses with conflict. And most of us, it's not natural to stand. It's natural to go this way, or it's natural to go that way. It's natural to attack, or it's natural to run away. These are the options here. You know, it's the flight or fight. When there's something that happens that we don't like, we either attack it or we run away from it. But the Bible says, no, you need to stand. You need to work at peacemaking. You need to work at reconciliation. And that's not natural. That is really not natural. Natural is to run or to fight. But to stand in the power of God is powerful. Now, there are things that we can do that look sort of like standing, but they're not. And we're going to fill in two more blanks here. They can look like peace, but they're not. There's peace faking, and there's peace breaking, but neither of them are true peace. You know, peace faking, oh yeah, everything's fine. Underneath, you're still, you know, all churned up. Or, you know, I'm just going to crush my opponent. Hey, they're not saying anything anymore. Of course not, they're crushed and beaten to the ground. Well, that's not peace. So running away and pretending like there's peace when there's not, that's not peace, that's peace faking. And just dominating or allowing yourself to be dominated, that's peace breaking. And so we need to figure out that middle ground. There's a wonderful graphic, if you've got that little book of resolving everyday conflict. Hopefully we got those to everybody. I've got a few copies left if you don't have one. Page 37, there's a version of this. Ken Sandy has been doing the Peacemaker ministry for over 20 years, so there are all sorts of different versions of this with different labels. But I like this one. It's also on the back of your sermon notes. And you've got your peacemaking zone, your peace-breaking zone, your peace-faking zone, and the challenge is to stay up on the top, because what does the devil want? The Bible says that the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Do you see what's at the far ends of either end? Suicide, death, kill, steal, and destroy. Murder, death, kill, steal, and destroy. That's where the devil wants you. The devil wants you to go clear off the edge in conflict to ultimate destruction. And God wants you to stay up as a peacemaker. So to do this, we need to have resolve. Resolving conflict requires resolve. Okay, this really isn't a real point. I just loved that play on words of resolve and resolving. But anyways, but it's true. We need to stand. We need to have resolve. It takes some fortitude. It doesn't come naturally to people. So let's look again at the chart. Go back and see this. See the dome.
You're
right. Sorry, Eric. You were so right, I'm not. All right, so with this idea of fight and flight, the self is what we're thinking about when we run away. I'm going to protect myself, and that's a flight. Now, when we attack, it's, they're at fault. They're wrong. I'm going to make them right. So it's thinking about them. In that middle ground is relationship. In the middle ground, it's not self, it's not me, it's not them, it's us, it's relationship. It's focusing on relationship. So now, when we think about how do we get there, how do we focus on relationship, not just myself or what they did wrong, we go back to the slippery slope, and there we are hanging out on top, but we need something beyond ourselves. We need to grab on to a lifeline. We need something, and God provides that. That's one of the gifts of God. God says, hey, here, I got something for you. You're naturally going to want to go this way or that way, but why don't you just hold on to this, and it'll keep you centered. You know where the center is. And, somebody else might be slipping down that slope, and you need to grab onto them because they don't have me yet. And maybe you find yourself, you're slipping down into that attack mode, or you're slipping down into the depression mode, and you need to hold on to that and use God and allow God to pull you back up into that safety zone of God-glorifying conflict resolution. An important part of this is that line to God, keeping us connected, keeping us centered, keeping us on top, giving us a strength that we don't have in ourselves. And we need that especially for what I want to talk about for just a few minutes. And it's something where we go right up to the border. We go to the edge between overlook and denial. All right, there's a thin line there. Every line is thin by definition. It's 1 point wide. All right, but there is that thin line there between overlook and denial. And there's a real power there, but there's a danger there. So we need to stay connected to God as we go over and say, hey, this is a really effective way to deal with conflict. So the idea is there are times when we need to overlook an offense. We need to say, yes, that was wrong. Yes, that wasn't right. Yes, that hurt. Yes, I didn't like that. Yes, that was damaging. But I'm going to overlook it. I'm going to say, I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm going to just go and look at our relationship, not that stupid thing you just did, not that hurtful thing you just did. And the challenge is, and hopefully some of you are saying, but how is that not denial? Hopefully you're asking that question, because that is the fine line. When is it overlooking it, and when is it just pretending it didn't happen, even though it really did? All right? It's an edge, but when we can figure it out, we are following biblical wisdom. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his glory to overlook an offense. 17 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. New Testament, Ephesians 4, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, putting up with one another in love. Well, it says bearing with another love, but that's what it means. Put up with one another, your fellow believers. Where is this line of when is it denial and when is it just extending grace, offering what God gives? Because this is an opportunity to imitate God. You're looking for the next blank in your sermon notes. It's an opportunity to imitate God. We often share during communion Psalm 103. And in it it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquity. He overlooks some stuff. That's what God does. So God knows that we're doing it. He knows that it's wrong. But He's choosing in His grace and mercy to overlook some things. And we can do this. But if you are sitting there with what happened on auto repeat in your head, you're not overlooking it, you're in denial. All right, if you're hearing this voice saying, oh, but they did that, they did that, they did that. No, you have to go back and do the work of peacemaking. But if you can truly overlook it and say, yes, that happened, it was wrong, but I'm not going to bring it up again. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm going to look right over that. That is when you can do it. If you can let it go, then you're overlooking. If you can't let it go, then you need to work through peacemaking. And some of the stuff we're going to go over in the coming weeks. But this is a great place to start, is to say, you know, can I overlook it? Because you should overlook when you can. You should say, hey, I have been forgiven, I am loved, and I have that lifeline to hold on to, and I have the strength to overlook some of these things. There are times when we have to ask, is this worth fighting for? Is this a dispute worth having? Is this worth correcting? I mean, every parent knows, well, you got to pick your battles. Well, in life, we've got to pick our battles. But not in a giving in type of way, but in a going over type of way. Peaceful people overlook a lot of things. Do you know those peaceful people? People who just have a calm that other people don't? Well, they've learned, hey, I am secure in myself, I am secure in God, and I can overlook some of these small things, these petty things. And there are other people that just can't overlook anything. And guess what? They don't have that peace. And God says, you know, hey, this is a good way for peacemaking, is overlooking. Now, as I said, there's a lot of stuff. Conflicts are unavoidable. There are big conflicts. There are things we cannot and should not overlook. And we need to not go into running away, and we need to not go into full attack mode. We need to go into peacemaking. And that's gonna come in the coming weeks. But I want to go back to that standing on top for just a moment. That putting on the armor of God. I mean, think about that list that there was. There's truth. All right, how useful is that in peacemaking? When we're relating with people, if we are saying, what is true in this situation? What is true in the world? What is true between you and me? That is powerful in peacemaking. If we can stand with righteousness, if we're not the one screwing up, it really helps in peacemaking. Now, we do screw up, so we have to learn how to deal with that too. But the more we can pursue and live in righteousness, the more we can be powerful in our stand. The readiness of the gospel of peace. Again, this is going back to last week of knowing we're forgiven, knowing we're loved, that we can have that, hey, I've got this gospel of peace, and it's my footwear, and I can be ready with it. Faith. And what does it say? It's going to be flaming arrows of the evil one. That's Satan. Those are lies. If we have faith, we can defend against the lies and say, no, you need to get it all right yourself. Oh, no, you've got the right to go attack. No, it's okay if you run away and hide. And we can have the faith to avoid the lies. We can have salvation, the helmet of salvation, to keep our head straight. So we are thinking well and not being misled. We can have the Word of God, guided by the Spirit of God, not by our flesh desires. But it ends with saying it about three or four different ways, the same thing, pray. Pray, be ready to pray. Pray for others, pray for yourselves, pray for the situation. This is so key in conflict resolution. This is so key to staying on the top. This is so key to keeping hold of that lifeline, is prayer, of communicating with God, of saying, God, I'm frustrated in this. God, I need your wisdom in this. God, I feel hurt in this. Prayer. To take a stand, the best way is to take a knee. To pray to God, that should be the starting posture of standing. As strange as that is, let's kneel to stand. But that's it. To go before God, to be praying to God, and having that strength to stand in conflict. Bringing glory to God, bringing peace, focusing on relationships, not running away, not attacking, but glorifying God in our conflict. Because every day we will have conflict. Some of it you can overlook. Some of it you can let go, but others of it we need to deal with, and we still have a lot more information and ideas from the Bible of how to do that. But right now, let us turn to the Lord in prayer, who will guide us through every conflict. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace and reconciliation, which can give us the footwear to stand firm. Help us to rely on your wisdom, to be guided by your Spirit, so that in conflict we're not trying to just escape and deny, and we're not trying to attack and win, but we are trying to glorify you and bring peace, bring reconciliation, bring hope and joy. Lord, you are faithful to do these things. When we are faithful to focus on you, to trust in you, to acknowledge you. Lord, I pray for each person here that they may grow as peacemakers through following your words, through following your guidance, through knowing your Son. For his glory we pray. Amen and amen.